What I was going to say too is we could maybe try to find an interview at some point too this week to and do sort of like a non, day of type of thing, non day of type of news stories, but more evergreen with the interview. And we could play that even on the 26th or the 27th. But yeah, either way, I'm flexible both of those days. I'm looking at my schedule right now. The 26th, I'm off. I just have to work at the score overnight. So I'm around morning, afternoon, evening. And then that Friday, I'm completely off. So that actually works out. So I'm pretty flexible both of those days.
Okay, cool. I saw Darnell at the UC on Saturday in the media room. We were chatting a little bit, and I mentioned to him that we wanted to get him back on the pod, and he said that he's always down. So I was thinking I might just shoot him a DM today and see if he's got some time sometime this week, and then I could if you're available, we could do all three of us, or if not, whenever Darnell has some time, if I find a time that works for him and I could just hop on with him and record sort of just like first third of the season recap and ask some of his thoughts on our evergreen stuff, rotations, the coaching, some of Paxton's recent comments and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's perfect. I am ready to go when you are.
Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joe. You seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up? Welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. On Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck. And at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, drop it there for us. 331-979-1369. Get your voicemails in. Holy shit, Matt. This was not exactly the weekend I entailed for this Bulls team, especially on two fronts. One, what we saw on Friday night was absolutely disgusting. And then on the management side, which came out shortly after that. But how you doing? How was your weekend? And are you any less depressed by this Bulls team after a win over the Clippers?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm in a pretty shit mood coming into this week. Holidays are right around the corner. I'm looking forward to that 4-day gap from Christmas Eve to the 27th when I don't have to watch a Bulls game. Things are bad right now. And, to cap it off, I had to watch the Bears lose at Lambeau in a winnable game on Sunday to see their season go down the drain and get eliminated from the NFL playoffs. So it was a rough week, man. I tell you what, I don't ever want to have to watch a team this bad play five times in the span of 7 days. I mean, having two sets of back-to-backs with another game wedged in between from Sunday to Sunday. Oh my God, that was unbearable.
Man, I'll start with this. I'll give the Hornets team a little bit of credit. They've been better than I thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to be atrocious this year. They've played the Bulls pretty well. That's not saying much, but they played the Bulls pretty well the two times now that we've seen them. They blew a huge
three times.
You're right. Three times.
Season opener, the Zach LaVine game, and then Friday.
God. Yeah, and the Bulls are 1-2 against the Hornets, too. And if it wasn't for Zach LaVine having, 13 threes in a game in Charlotte to come back and win that game, the Bulls lose that one.
Then we'd be 0-3 against the pitiful Charlotte Hornets.
But to see that score, I tweeted out the caption of the picture, 3.5 minutes left in the game, and it is 72-64. I thought I was watching a college basketball game, so I don't know. We can talk about the Clippers game in a minute, but let's start with this Hornets loss, because I think this embodies everything that the Bulls have been so far in the first 2.5 months of the season. Lackadaisical, don't really care, missing a ton of shots. The offense has completely disappeared. And Jim Boylan kind of making a fool of himself in the postgame press conference. Like, we got everything from this Bulls season all wrapped up into one game.
It was rough. I mean, yeah, and to have to hear Jim Boylan say after the game, well, he started by saying, well, if there's a positive we could take away from this, it's that, you know, I was pleased with our defense tonight. Look, okay, yes, it's true that the Bulls' defense has been a little bit better than expected statistically. I still think their transition defense is a complete disaster. I still think that the way that they play pick and rolls, the way that they pull their bigs away from the basket and are just like opening themselves up to all these easy buckets in the paint. You saw it again with Montrezl Harrell dominating them on Saturday night. And yes, the Bulls were able to win despite in spite of that. But for Jim to say that, like, oh, if there's a positive, come on, man. At some point, just like call a shitty spade a shitty spade. You just scored an NBA season low 73 points on your home floor against a team that's not very good, against a sub 500 team. I mean, it's inexcusable. It's a joke. And I know that you know, there was that video that went viral following that game where some fan was, you know, calling after Jim Boylan on his way to the tunnel and said, you know, you're a clown and, you know, any smart person would fire you. And Jim Boylan kind of like turns back and recognizes what is being said. And people had all sorts of different takes about, you know, is this fair? Is this too mean? Whatever. But like, there's no denying that after that performance, the Bulls were a joke.
I want to get your take on that. We'll go back to the Bulls in a second. But do you think the overreaction to a fan merely just yelling at Jim Boylan after the game, do you think there's an overreaction on Twitter because of that? Do you feel like it was a little bit of a soft, like people acting a little bit soft as an overreaction? Obviously, it's a dick move for the guy to just scream and yell at Jim Boylan like that. But, I mean, he didn't say anything bad. What did you think about it?
I mean, look, I understand the people who took the take of saying, yes, I'm frustrated with Jim Boylan too, but this is going too far. And honestly, I like, despite my demeanor on this podcast, despite my demeanor on Twitter and on Bulls Outsiders, I'm not as big of an asshole as I might come across to be. It's just because I'm very frustrated with a team that I love very much. And I call it like I see it. Right now, it pisses me off. But when it comes to people and their feelings, I'm actually kind of a softie. Like, I feel for people. I have sympathy, I have empathy, and I never like to see people get their feelings hurt. In that way, I am a softie. But I can't say that the fan who said that to Jim Boylan on Friday night was wrong about anything he said. I can't say that he was wrong, and I can't necessarily say that he was out of line. Because that was a frustrated fan speaking their mind. Yes, Jim Boylan does not deserve all of the blame for the way things have gone for the Bulls this season. And yes, the bigger blame lies at the feet of Jim's bosses who decided to extend his contract without so much as a sniff of a coaching search for somebody better. And they deserve a hell of a lot more blame for what's going on right now than Jim Boylan does. But Jim Boylan also deserves some blame. I think it's fair to say, after giving him kind of a pass last season because of the poor roster, it hasn't taken us long to figure out that Jim Boylan is in way over his head. And a frustrated fan saying any smart person would fire Jim Boylan was not wrong to say so.
Had he said anything derogatory or demeaning or anything like that, obviously calling him a clown, I think probably the nicest way to put it, if you're a frustrated and angry Bulls fan after watching that loss on Friday night. But I'm with you, man. Like, you know, I feel for people and I get it. And I try to put my perspective and walk whatever it is. What's the saying? Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. I try to do that with other people and feel from the other side. I mean, think about it. Last year, I tried to do that with a little bit with Cameron Payne. Try to do that with Denzel Valentine. Some of the players as well, when people would shit on those guys. Here, though, man, there's a part of me that says, okay, this comes with the job. Obviously, nobody wants to get yelled at and screamed at, but you're at the highest level. You're in one of the four major professional sports here, and you're also getting paid close to $2 million to do this job. So it comes with it. I just don't think Jim Boylan should have necessarily reacted to it, but I thought what I thought was the funniest part of it all is as soon as Jim Boylan stopped and turned and looked at I don't know, he sounded like a younger guy, turned and looked at him, the guy like coiled and almost couldn't spit out his words. So I found that kind of funny. People are very quick to yell at other people until somebody responds to them. We've seen it with players across the league as well. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I didn't think it was over the line, but it embodies everything that happened on Friday night. It embodies everything that's gone on with this Bulls team in the first 2.5 months. But back to the game. Again, like you had talked about, the defense has been better, but it's not translating into any transition offense. The offense looks like dog shit. Jim Boylan still can't figure out his rotations. And I guess the new thing is, Matt, is if you complain about minutes and not getting enough of them and you make it public, you all of a sudden get those minutes then. I mean, what is up with that? And that was just one game with Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that has become a bigger story too with, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, situation with Thad Young. But I think it's also fair that Thad was frustrated, because what I heard is that Jim Boylan, when sitting down with Thad Young in the offseason as they were, you know, wooing him in free agency, talked to Thad Young about playing a role where he would get, you know, minimum 25 minutes a game, but probably closer to 30 or 32 minutes a game, even knowing that he would be coming off of the bench, because this is a team focused on developing its young pieces, and they have two very important ones in the front court with Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. And obviously, 22 minutes per game, a third of the way through the season, is what made Thad Young upset, because he was not given the allotment of minutes that he was promised when he was pitched. So, of course, he's upset. And then the other thing that our buddy Mark Kay in Australia from Bulls HQ pointed out, rightfully so, is that not only is Thad's minutes been, you know, very minimal, but he's struggling to put a solid impact on these games because the guys he's playing with, the lineups he's playing with, are mostly scrub lineups. And Thad Young is a quality role player, and he was brought here to be a quality role player in addition to being a veteran leader to help build up the games of some of the younger players the Bulls are hoping become stars. But he has barely gotten to play with those young players because of the way that Jim Boylan's rotation has been used. So you understand his frustration completely.
I think this is kind of a shell shock for Thaddeus Young, too. Consider the fact the last two seasons where he played in Indianapolis with the Pacers. Miles Turner missed a good chunk of time in those 2 years. So did Domantas Sabonis. So I felt like Thaddeus Young had more of a role there where he was almost kind of a quasi-starter. And to be pitched one thing like you were talking about in the offseason, then come here and be kind of shell-shocked at the minutes that you're getting. The other thing that blows my mind too about this is the fact that, and Ricky O'Donnell tweeted this out, is he said it's almost like Thaddeus Young is one of the best players on the Bulls right now, yet he is getting the eighth most minutes on this roster, which totally with him. It goes back to what I said about a month ago. What is Jim Boylan? What is the front office? What is this team doing? Are you still trying to chase that dream that you have of all of a sudden turning this around and somehow competing for the eighth seed? Because if you are, then Thaddeus Young should be playing 25 to 30 minutes a night. He's been better than anybody else on this roster. I mean, Markkanen has played good over the last 2 weeks, but still, he's been better than almost every dude on this team consistently, at least for the bigs, as we're talking about.
Well, and that's the part that I really don't get. Sorry to interrupt you, Jordan, but like Jim Boylan continues to just reject and reject and reject the idea of playing Thad some minutes at the three. Like, I think we actually finally saw it for a little bit in the game on Saturday, but it's like, dude, you're talking about how you miss Otto Porter Jr. Hutch is out too. You're throwing all these three guard lineups out there, these small ball lineups. You're getting crushed on the glass almost every night, and you have this veteran player, Thad Young, who's saying, hey, I could probably help this team if I get some more minutes. And the one obvious answer that's staring Jim Boylan in the face that he's been asked about by the media over the past couple of weeks, he just continues to reject it as if it's just like an absurd idea.
And I understand Thaddeus Young's frustration with this team, and I think you know, for a guy that feels so rock solid when we signed him this offseason, is like, okay, nothing I don't think is going to break this guy in terms of dysfunction, in terms of riding a roller coaster of a rebuilding team, a team that's trying to be competitive. I mean, I didn't think it was going to take till December for him to tell the Bulls, yo, put me on the floor and play me or trade me. And if for a guy as nice as Thaddeus Young is, and for the talent level that he has too, and the amount of money the Bulls are paying him, it just, again, blows my mind that Jim Boylan's like, you know what, I'm going to ride with a three-guard lineup, and Thaddeus, you're going to sit until the third quarter where we end up deciding to sit Markkanen for a stretch of 12 to 14 minutes in the second half. Things like that just I don't understand it. We don't really get an explanation from Jim Boylan why he does that. He just talks in generalities, so you don't really get a clear explanation of why he's sitting and why he continues to go with these lineups that continue to blow leads in the fourth quarter, so... he did the same thing with Denzel Valentine, too. Like, all of a sudden, Denzel Valentine has come out of nowhere and been somebody who's actually helped the Bulls win games over the last 2 weeks. So you stuck him on the bench for the first month and giving the Jabari treatment. So I honestly don't get it. And I sound like a broken record here, but I don't. And who's going to tell Jim Boylan, hey, dude, if we're not tanking, and we're not trying to just develop, then put your damn best players out there when it matters. And that's in the fourth quarter.
And I think, you know, you mentioned Denzel and, you know, lack of minutes. You mentioned, you know, the Jabari experiment that exploded last year and what we're talking about with Thad Young. And I think that to me points to a larger issue here. Like, we're worrying right now about whether or not this core of, you know, LaVine, Lowry, Wendell is actually going to be good enough to climb out of the basement of the NBA, the basement of the Eastern freaking Conference, which shouldn't be that hard. But the other big concern to me is this news that broke with Thad Young and relating to that, what we heard from Jabari Parker on his homecoming to Chicago recently. Jabari Parker saying, you know, hey, man, the past is the past. I've moved on, whatever. I know that I have more credibility than that entire organization. I mean, clearly a shot. It wasn't a veiled shot of any kind. It was just an all-out shot at how Jabari thought the Bulls organization was run. And even, you know, saying things like, all of us Chicago ballers, like, we'd love to just all make our own team and play here. And it would probably be better. But that, coupled with Thad Young and this story getting leaked, that not only was he upset with his playing time, but that he has already told his agent to go look for possible trades, because he's already sick of being here. And he was the, you know, oh, great quality, well-respected veteran in the league, going to bring all sorts of credibility and positive culture back to the Bulls. And that's what they, you know, sold to the media and the fan base about why they brought Thad in. And that guy who you're saying is here to help build your culture, not even a third of the way into his first season under this regime, says, yo, y'all, this is fucked. Get me the hell out of here. Between that and what Jabari said, it's like, again, it's a small free agent class. I don't think, based on the way the Bulls books are right now, that there are going to be big players in free agency this summer. But in another summer from now, 2021, when a lot of big, expensive potential stars can be wooed, there comes, rearing its ugly head, the big problem the Bulls have. Despite the big market, despite the rich history of this franchise, who wants to come play here after fellow NBA colleagues, players, hear what other players have to say about their time in Chicago? It is the biggest problem, because right now in the NBA, you win with free agency and trades. Who's going to request a trade to the Bulls? Who's going to want to sign as a free agent with the Bulls after stuff like this?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Jesus.
You bring up a good point, though. The fact that the dysfunction, what you're hearing after guys leave this team, and it's not just an outlier either. You know, if Thaddeus Young does get traded in the next handful of weeks here or leading up to the trade deadline, should this continue to be the worst roller coaster ride I've ever been on, we're probably going to hear stuff from him, too, if things don't end right. How about Bobby Portis? I know Bobby Portis gave love to the organization for everything that they did prior to about a month before, and said he loved this organization, but they did him wrong. How about Jabari Parker, just like you had talked about? How about Nico Mirotic? In his interview, when he went back to play overseas, he mentioned that he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't name drop the Bulls, but you could clearly tell he was talking about early on in his career. He said for the first time he felt like he actually felt comfortable in the league playing with the Pelicans. I mean, Paul Zipser was a guy that the Bulls drafted, and he said he didn't trust the organization to deal with his injury. They weren't listening to him when he said he needed surgery. I mean, that's four examples right there in the last 3 years that guys that have left this organization that have had negative things to say about it, whether it be the culture or the way that things are run. So it's not just an outlier anymore. You know, as much as the Bulls want to say that those types of things happens to every organization, it doesn't, not when it becomes a pattern like this.
And it happens, and it's a pattern through multiple different head coaches. There were issues like this under Tibbs. There were issues like this under Vinny. There were issues like this under Fred. And now there are issues like this under Jim. What does that tell you? The culture, that stupid freaking word that we have to hear John Paxson say every time he actually has the courage to open his mouth and get in front of a microphone, it's a joke. It's a freaking joke, because the only consistency with the quote-unquote culture of the Chicago Bulls and the John Paxson regime is that players, after leaving here, say, hey, that was rough. I'm glad I'm not dealing with that anymore. Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, some of the names you mentioned, and of course now recently Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, Thad Young, who's already sick of being here. Again, under varying coaches, what's the one constant? This ownership group and this front office. They are building the opposite of positive culture.
And we'll talk about John Paxson, too, in the management side of this. We didn't want to jam it into this episode, so we're going to spend an entire episode talking about that, which should be interesting just from the comments that he made this weekend, and I can't wait to get into that with you, Matt. To bring it back to the games this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about the Clippers win, because I do think that there was a few positives to take away from that, looking at just individual bases. And we'll talk about that in a second, but I just wanted to mention to you guys, you know, after watching that Friday night, I needed a good night's sleep. And the way to do that is getting a Casper mattress. The original Casper mattress combined multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep surface that the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards a select mattress by visiting casper.com/lockednba. That's casper.com/lockednba at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from the Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. It's a great place to, if you guys miss a read, you hear a company that you want to go purchase something from, go there, lockedonpodcast.com/offers. But to this Clippers game, Matt, great bounce back for Zach LaVine. You know, every single night, Matt, this dude is asked to come out here and be something he is not. And for the most part, he's exceeded my expectations. If you just look at it in a vacuum, he doesn't have anybody else around him. I tweeted out the clutch stats, the Bulls being up 5 or down 5 with the last 5 minutes of the game. The Bulls have played in 18 of 28 games where they've been within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. Zach LaVine right now leads the league in clutch points. He has 64 clutch points right now after Saturday night's win. He's shooting 41% from three as well. He's shooting 36% from the field, not all that great, but he's knocking down three-pointers when the Bulls need to. But look at the rest of the top 10. Every single one of these guys outside of Devontae Graham has a partner in this, a guy that he can rely on in the last 5 minutes if he's not open. If Zach LaVine's double-teamed, he's got another guy. And it seems like still, this is what we talked about last year, seems like there isn't a guy that Zach LaVine can trust down the stretch. He feels like he has to do everything himself. And Mark Aaronzolas, too, just to mention him again, he brought up the point of Zach is being casted as somebody he is not. And I've thought about this for a long time, especially the way that the beginning of the season has gone. But, I mean, how many more times are we going to ask Zach LaVine, hey, dude, we need you to go out there and score 15 to 20 in the fourth quarter to save our ass? I mean, it can't continue to happen that way.
No, I mean, it's the unfortunate situation the Bulls are in. And I still You know, I thought Zach could have a real shot at making his first All-Star team this year based on the way we saw him play last year. And if he, you know, bumped up his numbers a little bit across the board and showed us a little bit more with his playmaking ability, we saw his assists go up a little bit towards the end of last year. And then we were also hoping to see improvement on the defensive end. But so far, I think generally he's regressed a little bit. I think he's frustrated with this system that Jim Boylan is trying to install. And, you know, again, we'll get to that because those were part of Paxton's comments on our episode about that. But I think what we're learning is that Zach LaVine, for all of his talents and abilities, is not quite the right guy to be the 1A closer on a good team. We have seen him perform that role dutifully a couple of times. You know, he goes absolutely berserk in that earlier game against Charlotte, drops 49, hits the game-winning buzzer beater. And then Saturday night against the Clippers, he has a strong game, and he finishes with a really impressive drive, the hoop and the harm, sinks the free throw on the and one. And it was a close moment for Zach LaVine. But we have also seen him fail to do that, including recently, you know, in their most recent close loss, where he's driving final possession of the game and Zach LaVine tunnel vision strikes again. He has a wide open Daniel Gafford underneath the hoop. A simple pass or even a lob, Gafford dunks that. Bulls go home victorious. Zach LaVine, to me, is still showing us more frequently that he can't close than when he can. And that is a problem of the Bulls miscasting him in the role of being the closer and the guy. He's good, but he's not that good.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to hit on is he's not doing it, but he also shouldn't be asked to do it by himself. Guys like James Harden and guys like Chris Paul and any of these other names that are in the top 10 in clutch points, they have guys that they can rely on if they're not knocking down shots late in a game. And the one thing that I'm frequently noticing, too, this year, specifically more than last year, when Zach LaVine's not knocking down threes, especially in that first half, it seems like Zach LaVine just disappears on offense on nights. That three-pointer is super indicative of what Zach LaVine does on a night-in, night-out basis. And I'm not just talking about the points that he's scoring, but when he knocks down threes, it opens up everything else for the offense. And it opens up everything else for him, too, to be able to drive to the basket, take those lanes. When he's not knocking down threes, man, it's bad, and we see that. The Bulls get blown out.
Right. Well, so, or, you know, like the Friday night game against Charlotte, right, where he was like 1 of 8 from 3 and 4 of 19 overall. That's, you know, it's this seesaw of performances from Zach. And, you know, to his credit, he's trying. He's doing the best he can on a team that is clearly shorthanded and other players are not performing up to par. But that's, you know, that's the difference between Zach LaVine and what All-Star players are. All-Star players bring it every single night. And to your point, you know, I think you're right. It's interesting to note that, you know, if Zach's three isn't falling, then generally he has a bad game across the board. And, you know, whatever else goes along with that, the one key, the one, you know, consistent thing all season long has been the fact that it's like good game, bad game, good game, bad game. And that's not a closer. That's not an all-star who can lead a good team.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. The one thing I wanted to mention real quick about this Clippers win, specifically that last play, you know, shout out to Chris Dunn. I don't think anybody talked about this, but if you go back and watch that final play, Chris Dunn does a sneaky, sneaky good move. Right as he inbounds the ball, he walks in a direct straight line right into the path of Paul George. And I don't know who else was on the floor, too. One of the Clippers guards just so subtly runs straight in a line, straight through them, just enough to cause a disruption there so Zach LaVine could get to the basket, so he'd get that extra step to the basket. That was so clutch. If Chris Dunn had just inbounded the ball and stood pat, Zach LaVine probably doesn't get to the basket on that play. So amazing play by Chris Dunn, and one that I don't think he got recognized for at the end of the game, but that was so clutch for the Bulls to be able to, even for Zach LaVine to even be in that position to knock down that shot. But again, it goes back to every conversation we've had this season so far. Somebody else needs to step up besides Zach LaVine. I mean, Lauri Markkanen has played better over the last, what would you say, two and a half weeks or so, but other guys got to step up around him, and especially when you're within five 8 points in the fourth quarter, or if you're trying to hold a lead, still need guys to knock down shots.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, we're kind of spreading the blame around here for some of these winnable games that the Bulls have lost close. You mentioned all these games that the Bulls have been in it late, and unfortunately they have not come out on top in most of them, and how much of the responsibility falls on Zach and how much is the fact that he just doesn't have any help and the Bulls don't have other closer options. You're right. Lowry has obviously struggled. He's starting to play a little bit better. Jim Boylan still does not seem to trust Lowry late in games. You know, we see him subbed back in like way late into the fourth quarters. There was, you know, that game where Jim purposely gave Thad Young more minutes, and it meant a stretch where for like 15 straight minutes, Lowry didn't see the floor. To me, it's a combination of issues when it comes to the Bulls not closing. Zach LaVine, I still think, has an issue as a decision maker slash closer late in games. He can create his own shot, and sometimes that goes well, but we also see the late game turnovers from Zach still. They were an issue last season. They continue to be an issue this season. And between that and the fact that our head coach can't draw up a play to save his life, I mean, it's a compounding issue. Your closer is not a great floor general slash basketball IQ guy. And I'm not, you know, trying to be mean to Zach about that. I'm not trying to call Zach dumb. But I just think right now, the evidence shows he does not have great basketball IQ in those late game situations.
Yeah. That.
You know who else doesn't have a great basketball IQ? Their head coach. Good coaches figure out ways to win games late and the right ways to do that. The Bulls having a worse and worse and worse and worse net rating quarter by quarter by quarter by quarter.
Yeah, I don't think it's not necessarily a knock on Zach LaVine either, because he hasn't been in a role where he's had good enough guys, good enough reliable shooters around him to make those decisions. We still see him make those same mistakes that he made last year, you know, when he had literally nothing around him too. So I'm with you on that. But guys like Thomas Satoransky, or for the love of God, Ryan Arcidiacono, if he's in the game, or whoever is the guard that's supposed to be out there and be a pass first type of guy, that's who should run the system through, or try to feed stuff through that player, and not make Zach LaVine have to make the pass, make the shot, make the decision every single time. But I'm just looking at Zach LaVine's stats here, just from three pointers, just because I was curious, and I haven't dug deep into this or not, but there's 14 games where Zach LaVine shot under 34% from three, and the Bulls have wins in only two of those games. So two of the 14 games where Zach LaVine shoots under 34% from three, they have two wins. There's nights where Zach LaVine goes 1-for-7, 3-for-9, and those are terrible nights where Bulls are picking up losses. Anytime he shoots over 50%, the Bulls are picking up wins there. So I don't know. It's a combination of factors with his scoring, but again, can't be the only dude. I mean, Zach LaVine has had one game this season, one game, and that was against Detroit, where he has single-digit points. He's had double-digit points in every single other game. So, I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, for a guy that averaged, what, 23 last season?
Right.
That's expected. That's expected. And like in the Charlotte game on Friday, he had 12. That's not good enough.
Yeah, that's not. That's not,
you know,
not.
It's not good enough. It's look, again, it's, you know, who to blame, who to give a pass to. Nobody gets a pass right now. I understand Zach LaVine's frustration because he's asked to be and tasked to be the best guy on this team, to be the closer of this team, and to do so much for this team. And I mean, he talked a big game in the offseason, and he talked about making the All-Star team for the first time. Zach has not performed up to par with a guy who talked about being an All-Star this year, because guess what? He's not an All-Star.
Last thing. I don't like that Denzel Valentine was getting bagged for celebrating after hitting a pretty clutch shot to save the Bulls' asses again on Saturday. Let me just remind people that for all the shit Denzel Valentine's gotten in his professional career, dude was still AP Player of the Year his last year in college. He was Big Ten Player of the Year. He was first team All-American in his last year. This dude knows how to play. He played under Tom Izzo. Those teams were top 10 ranked every single year when he was there. So this isn't like the dude's stupid or can't play basketball or isn't a good player. So I like the confidence from Denzel Valentine, where he hit that shot and he was like, yeah, that is me. That's what the Bulls need. The Bulls need more of those guys to do that. It goes back to 2 years ago, first rebuild. Chris Dunn knocked down that massive shot too against the Utah Jazz and said, get the fuck off me. We need more of that. The Bulls need more of that, and it seems like none of the guys on this team can do that, or none of the guys have the fire to do that right now. And I don't know if that's just a combination of the losses or what it is, the devastating blown leads night after night after night. So it could be a combination of all of that, but step off my man Denzel Valentine for a little while.
I mean, okay. Yes, credit to Denzel for the way he's played since earning his way back into the rotation. And obviously he had a big night on Saturday. He hit the big three late to bring the game into a tie. And you know, you want to do a little shoulder shimmy after hitting a big shot like that, I got no problem with that. But the other thing, you know, when it comes to him and Chris Dunn and the fire you're talking about and what this Bulls team needs, like, yes, you know, I would agree that this Bulls team needs to have a little bit more pride than they do right now. But on the flip side of that coin, I think it's absolutely laughable that a few games before that, Denzel Valentine is ejected for having two technicals assessed to him, including one of which he earned from the bench, jawing against the worst fucking team in the league. At that point in that Warriors game, Denzel had what, just come back into the rotation like 4 or 5 days ago? He's got like 30 minutes to his name on the entire season, and he's talking trash to the worst team in the league and gets ejected? Dude, are you kidding me? That is a joke. That is pathetic. And Chris Dunn, with all these flexing and I'm a dog, and like I've seen him do a fair amount of flexing over the last couple of games. Credit to Chris Dunn and the defense he's played. He's playing very well on that end. He's still just a black hole on offense. But come on, man. Like, you're 10-18. You're 10-18. I don't know that flexing is what you should be doing right
now. Quickly on the Valentine point real fast. I think he, on that second technical coming off the bench, I think he was yelling at the ref. I would have to go back and look at the play prior where he got pulled. And they went to timeout, and then they came back, and another Warriors hit a shot right away. But he was yelling at the ref about something, and that's why he got that second technical. But to your point on just the emotion on the floor and flexing, have a little bit of confidence. I like it, man. I can't deny it. I backed Bobby Portis when he would do it. He'd be fucking flexing in front of a Bulls crowd last year, and the Bulls had, what, single-digit wins at the end of December. So I like that passion. I want to see that more often. And I get it. I get it from the perspective, too, is like, what are you flexing about? You just blew, what, 10 games over the last month in the fourth quarter, so you don't have much to flex about. But at some point, this team just needs some confidence to come from somewhere. Maybe it starts on the floor with some emotion from some of these guys.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, come on. Find a middle ground, man.
That's true. But I won't hate on him for the flexing. I like it. I want the Bulls to get back to that. So, but wins need to come first. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you just got your first victory in your 28th game of the year against a team above 500, who, by the way, were sitting half of their squad. So, again, forgive me if I think the getting tossed for talking trash and all this flexing going on is a complete joke. You just got your first win against a 500 team. There is no trash talking or flexing validated by this team's performance so far. Get over yourself and do better and win some more games against decent opponents.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your text to your voicemails. We're going to do mailbag. We're definitely going to get to your voicemails. So you guys have burning opinions and you want to give us a call, drop your voicemail at 331-979-1369 or your texts as well. We went a little bit longer on this episode today. We were going to get to some texts, but we'll just save that for Wednesday and do an entire episode on that. So again, 331-979-1369. I know for our international listeners too, just wanted to mention this really quick. Our email is at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, if you can't get to the voicemail line, or you can't text us in, or you're not on Twitter, whatever the case may be, you can email us as well if you just want to flush out all of your thoughts, and we'll be sure to either respond to you or put it on the show if it's good enough. So again, hit us up on Twitter as well, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to Casper. And also, thank you to Breaking Tees for sponsoring our episodes today. Breaking Tee, if you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to breaking.com/lockedon. Breaking Tees make sports t-shirts and teams' passionate moments great. Great for all fans. Go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. Only, what, 8 days till the holidays here? And, Matt, I have done zero of my Christmas shopping, but that is something I have to worry about this week. So if you are like me and haven't done your Christmas shopping yet or your holiday shopping, go to Breaking Tee or go to Casper and buy somebody a new mattress. But for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
So we feel good about the direction we're heading. We know as well as anyone that we've not done anything.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com